Hey, it's your girl, All That Jazz, on another adventure. This time, a one-on-one conversation with Mr. Talented writer, actor, and most of all, comedian, Mr. Royel Watkins. Thank you so much, Royel, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Jazz. Wait, can I get all my credits in? Can I get side dude of the world, side chick advocate, failed astronaut, super friend, yeah, I guess that's enough.
Is that enough?
Yeah, I guess that'll hold them. I don't know where my next opportunity is going to come from, so somebody might hear this interview and go, oh, I didn't know he was a journeyman electrician. I need some wiring done at my house.
True story. Well, the laundry list of the multi-talented Mr. Royel Watkins. So whatever you choose, let that be so.
Wonderful. I like it.
Okay, Royel. Well, I wanted to ask you about your career as a comedian. I always like hearing about stories about people and how they start off in their roles, but I always like to know what happened prior to that role. So before working as a comedian, what was your original line of work? What did you do before this all started?
Before this all started, I come from a family of contractors, so, you know, plumbing, electrical, the electrical thing is for real.
Okay.
But painting, plumbing, electric, gas fitting, my dad was a master at all of that stuff, and I have 11 brothers and 2 sisters, so all of us did some form of that line of work, and I fell into doing electricity or electrical work. And I also was in college and out of high school went into the Marine Corps Reserve, so I also have a military background. But when I was in college, I was studying electrical engineering. Was I really studying? I was trying to study electrical engineering in between all of the clowning around and chasing girls and all of that silly stuff. But then I was snatched out of my third year of school to go over to Iraq or Kuwait or wherever Desert Shield, Desert Storm was, and was over there for a little while, learning about myself and the world and all of the craziness that can happen when you sign up for the military.
Okay.
But and then I got back, fortunately, in one piece, and the thing that I learned while I was over there is that life could be this long or it could be this short. But the thing that you want to focus on is the thing that makes you happy. And the thing that made me happy was making people laugh.
Tell me a little bit about your first stand-up gig.
My first stand-up gig is probably one of the most important gigs I've ever had because the first one took place in the church. And they were having some talent night. I can't remember exactly, but I believe it's a talent night. And, you know, I knew that I could get the opportunity to get on stage and then decided that I was like, all right, I'm going to get into this talent night and put together a routine. And I had my whole family was going to be there to support me. But the thing that I knew that I absolutely had to do was to put up a clean show. Like, you know, I couldn't go over to the church using a bunch of curse words and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I put together a routine. And most of everything that I had to write about or that I wanted to have an opinion about was just dealing with being in this big family. And, you know, having a mother who was like 4'8" or 9" or however tall she was. And, you know, and her having a giant available to her at all times being my dad. You know, so it's a really interesting dichotomy or juxtaposition of parents. You know, having a dad who's working God knows how many hours a day, and a mom who's the matriarch in there is going to tell you what to do and who you tower over, but you know at any moment she can make that phone call and have the monster come home and get you.
Sounds like a great start to your first stand-up gig. I want to ask you, because we always have someone who influences us in our career, and I know you started off in the church, but who basically was most influential in your career to be a comedian?
Most influential in terms of my career, it really is a couple of different people. First and foremost, my family has always been the base of where the material comes from. So you talk about influence, you know, I would say it has to start with them. But then, you know, when most people ask this question, they really are talking about professional influences. And so You know, I listen to the Eddie Murphy albums just like most of my peers and a lot of the people who are in kind of my age group. When Raw dropped and when Delirious dropped, all of that stuff I was paying attention to. And as I started to consider doing this professionally, I started to pay more attention to a lot of other comics. And then I learned about, you know, Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby, to me, was incredible because, you know, I watched him on television on The Cosby Show. But then as I started to listen and pay more attention to what he did and was doing as a stand-up comedian, I found that he was doing something that was so incredible because he was creating in his act episodes of television right in front of the audience. And that's a gift. A lot of comics can get up on stage and be funny, but it's a whole nother opportunity available to you when you can be funny and create these point of view driven stories that lend themselves to half hour television. So for me, Bill Cosby was a huge influence. But then also, I started to pay attention to cats. Like, when I was paying attention to Eddie Murphy, I paid attention to Damon Wayans. And Damon Wayans just became it for me because he was so raw. He was so gifted, but he was talking about stuff that was very relatable to me at the time. And I thought just across the board was accessible to so many people. But again, it still had this edge to it. That you know, a lot that allowed me to appreciate in a different kind of way. And then another layer of that was that Damon Wayans was on tour during that Mo Money tour. He came to Constitution Hall in D.C. I'll never forget this. And I went to go see the show, and Mark Curry opened up for him. And I'd never seen Mark Curry before, never heard of Mark Curry. But Mark Curry came out, and let me just tell you that he completely changed. Like, I thought I wanted to do stand-up comedy or, you know, was leaning that way. When I saw Mark Curry, I was like, it became definitive for me. It's like, I have to do this.
I'm a huge fan of Mark Curry myself, as well as Bill Cosby. So, seems like your influential track definitely held you to have a great career. And speaking of career, you are not only that laundry list we listed in the beginning, you're also an entrepreneur, being a co-founder of the Mixtape Comedy Show, where Mr. Anthony Anderson and yourself host that show in New York City at the Gotham Comedy Club. Tell me a little bit about what inspired Mixtape Comedy Show.
I'll tell you a lot about what inspired Mixtape Comedy Show is my career flatlining about 3 years ago. And I say flatlining being a little extreme, but I reached a point where people weren't paying attention to me. The business of entertainment was shifting, and there was a change going on in terms of how the networks were doing business. All of the deals that cats like myself were privileged enough to be able to have available, you know, as a young comic, these networks will hand out, say, these deals, so many of them every year. And if you're an African-American comic and you have a point of view and, you know, you're accessible or they feel like you're marketable to this larger white audience, then you'll find yourself getting a check for $100,000 a year just to be available to a network or a studio. And like I said, between three and five years ago, that's all changed. The networks and the studios found that they didn't have the money to spend in that way anymore. So again, for me, it was like, all right, look, I don't have a development deal. There's nobody really paying attention to me, and I have a family to feed. So it was like, all right, what am I going to do? I got to figure out a way to do something next. And I've always enjoyed developing projects, and I had an idea to develop a comedy show that was different. But the thing that I didn't have was people paying attention to me. So I was like, well, they're not paying attention to me. Let me go get one of my friends who I can partner up with who they are paying attention to. And I went to Anthony and told him that I had an idea for a show. And he said, you know, whatever you want to do, you know, I'll rock with you. And so we were actually at the time goofing around with our friends on Facebook, and the people following us said, you guys should put up a comedy show. And so because Anthony was in New York, I said, all right, cool. We'll put up a show. We'll do it in New York. We'll just put up one show. And so we put up one show, and it was sold out. And again, we didn't print one flyer. There was no paper. It was all just the support of the people following us on Facebook.
Amazing.
So based on the success of that show, the people were like, you guys should continue doing it. And they was like, you guys should do it every week. And I was like, well, I'm flying in from L.A., and it'd be tough for me to fly in every week. I said, but I will consider doing a monthly show. So I was like, all right, we'll put up another show next month. And between that January show and the upcoming February show, Anthony and I goofed around a little bit more. We ended up doing this rap battle against each other on Facebook. And the people's like, well, you guys should battle each other on stage at the next show. So we decided that's what we're going to do. Like, we'll put up the comedy show again, and then he and I will have this freestyle rap battle against each other. Sure enough, at the February show, we put up the comedy show. We were putting up the rap freestyle battle portion of the show, and Kango Kid from UTFO just happened to be at the show and came on stage, and he ended up performing. And after the show, I went back and looked at the pieces, and I was like, wow, this is kind of unique and different. Like, we have a comedy show, we got a rap freestyle battle, and I said we have a music artist. And I looked at it and switched some of the pieces around and thought, wow, this would be really incredible to be able to use this format moving forward. And so the next month, we did that, but what we did was went out and actually found, you know, some young freestyle artists who actually do it, so it wasn't Anthony and I, was actually real rappers. And people respond to that. So we decided, all right, let's just continue this in New York City. And now, 3 years later, I think this upcoming Sunday is our third year anniversary. You know, we have a show that's continuing to grow. I think last year, about a year ago, we decided to start streaming the show online using Ustream.tv because there were so many people that were seeing the feedback from people who were enjoying the show in New York. They were like, yo, how come we can't watch the show? How come, you know, bring the show to our city and we can't, we're not in a position to, you know, to, we weren't in a position at the time to take it to every city. So it was like, the way we could do it was like, we'll open it up and stream the show live to give everybody access and allow people to watch it for free.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to you on your third year anniversary. That's such an amazing mark, especially as you guys continue to grow. Before I came to New York City, I used to look at the Mid-State Comedy Show in Florida. So I was like, you know what? When I go to New York City, I'm going to make sure to check out that show. So hence the reason why I like to attend your show. So it's definitely a great show, and it has great music, great comedy, and I definitely love the Mid-State Freestyle Challenges.
There's still a lot of stuff, you know, the thing that's exciting for us and for me specifically is that, you know, when we allow people to engage the show using social networking, and I've been able to get a lot of information and feedback and take that information and put it back into the show to help us grow and continue to do, to address the concerns of people following and watching the show. So hopefully, like in the next couple of months, we'll add a few new features to the show that have been suggested to us by the fans that I think will really help us kind of do some things that's going to make this an exciting experience as we move forward.
So this is the third year anniversary. What's been the greatest moment of the Mid-State Comedy Show?
The greatest moment of the Mid-State Comedy Show? I would say, I'll give you what I believe were a couple of highlights. I'd say the first highlight that stands out to me was streaming the show. The ability to finally connect that wire and have people around the world and the country say, oh, I'm watching the show live online, I can see you guys, you know, was, that's a huge moment because what it said was when we streamed that first show, we promoted it, Anthony went on radio, we had 41,000 people watching the show. So that was a huge, huge moment for us. Another highlight was having Naughty by Nature show up for our second anniversary and perform. Because, you know, we don't have the budget to pay music artists, be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really was us reaching out to people saying, hey, we have this little show that we're trying to grow. Will you come support us? Mm-hmm. And to have the support of, you know, Chubb Rock, to have the support of Kwame, who people never see perform, Kwame showed up and performed. To have Milk D from Audio 2, to have Drez from Black Sheep, and again have Naughty by Nature show up and support our anniversary show. I mean, that's huge. You know, it just really has an impact that those guys, you know, we could say thank you 1,000 times, but they really, Dos Effects is another group that showed up that just, Keith Murray, you know what I mean? It's like, it really means a lot to us that they showed up. So that, those to me are the highlights. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that absolutely has happened in the venue. Oh, there was one time, this was a huge highlight. There was one time that one of our freestyle rappers didn't show up. And there was an older gentleman in the audience named Milk from Atlanta. He stepped away to use the bathroom, and asked the audience that when Milk steps back into the showroom, I said, let's celebrate him, clap really loud, and I'm going to introduce him as if he's a freestyle rapper. And this guy, Milk, played along, got up on stage, and allowed us to continue a portion of our show that we would have lost that night had he not been such a good sport.
Well, I would have loved to watch him perform. That would have been funny. Royale, where else can we find you?
I've been busy writing for television, but my need right now is to transition back onto the stage as much as I possibly can be there. And my hope is that very soon we'll be launching this mixtape comedy tour. So hopefully people will see me in their city very soon with this mixtape comedy show tour or this Anthony Anderson and Friends tour. So, you know, they can always find me on Facebook. They can find me on Twitter, everything under Royale Watkins. And feel free to interact with me and shoot me a message. I always respond to everything. It's you know, it's me doing everything. Whenever somebody shoots me a message, they'll get a response from me. There's nobody else doing it but me. So people can engage me if somebody is doing something that, you know, they want me to come and support. Happy to support if my schedule allows. If they're putting together a show or whatever and they want a comic, happy to come and support what they're doing. But they can find me. I'm right here on the internet.
Well, thank you so much, Royale, for coming to the Adventures of All That Jazz and for having a conversation, a one-on-one conversation with me. And I definitely look forward to attending the third anniversary of your Mixtape Comedy Show. And thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you definitely come through to another adventure of All That Jazz. Thank you.